It's like Heckle and Jide. Wait.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
I can't believe
that's a show, Kyle.
I just said that, and I didn't mean to.
Oh, man.
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, August 24th, 2017. I am Eric. He is Tristan, and with us today, a trio of awesome gentlemen, Kyle the Monster Soppy, the avid moviegoer and emailer of show notes at like 5 a.m. every day. Plus, we've got underrated producer Mike Robbier, who I just met last week. Seems like a nice fellow. And it's a Keith Lipscomb day. He's been forced to listen to this disaster. We thank him and apologize. Tristan, you are in St. Louis today.
I am.
For what reason, sir?
Well, I really needed to check out Yolis Chacin's home road splits.
Did you get hit by a pitch? Because he was hitting everybody last night.
Oh, man, I know. Wow. And not only that, he almost hit the pitcher who was going up there just to do a bunt.
So he had four hit by pitches, a wild pitch.
The team had five hit by pitch. He had the wild pitch. Yeah, the other wild thing, too, is that the Cardinals stole three bases in one inning off Kirby Yates on seven pitches. It was like he wasn't paying attention. It was a weird game. Meanwhile, what am I watching? What am I watching yesterday? I'm watching my phone for something that happened yesterday, a real good game.
There were a bunch of real good games. History was kind of made. We'll get to your Luke Weaver experience. You're there for a fantasy football convention of some sort, I assume, right?
That's correct. Yep. Okay. Tonight, it's 7 to 9 Central Time. Yeah. So I'm doing a little show here in Chesterfield. So anyone who's listening in St. Louis, if you hear this beforehand, come on out. Fantasy football event, Fantasy Football 101.
I'm sure Tristan will be tweeting that out. Let's get to the buzz. All right, well, let's start with Luke Weaver, because he's a guy who we each have invested in a league of different sizes. That was a pretty good outing. 10 strikeouts, nary a run. Your thoughts on Luke Weaver?
I love the nary a run. Looked very good. The Ks were what caught my eye, and the fact that he was kept in the game through seven innings, it's a career high in terms of that. Second time he's gotten double-digit strikeouts, and I think that the initial reaction, just because he's not promised a rotation spot the rest of the year, is that, oh, it's the Padres, of course. He just capitalized on the matchup. But if you look at the Cardinals' schedule, a lot of home games, a lot of games against strikeout-prone teams like the Brewers. He's got some PNC Park games. He's got a lot of Giants. There are more opportunities, and I'll tell you, I'm not so convinced Adam Wainwright comes back and contributes all that much, so Weaver could be in for the long haul.
Well, I think when Wainwright comes back, he might just go to the bullpen, right?
If you could convince him of that, yeah. I think that's a good option.
If you could convince him of that?
Don't you think that's
ridiculous? I know what you're saying. I went through this with Law earlier in the week. Players should be told what to do.
I think he'd be willing to do it. It's just that is still a change. He's done it before, and I think that's kind of a dramatic change to do around this time of year near Labor Day.
I guess.
That's all.
But it's just, doesn't that sound ridiculous? Like, my boss is actually in the studio listening to this drudge right now, and if he tells me to do something, I can't say, well, no, I'm really more of like a football guy, not a baseball guy. Like, I got to do what he tells me to do. Yet these elitist athletes, like, they have to be, like, asked nicely to go to the bullpen? That's ridiculous. I'd like to see Weaver stick around in the rotation because I think there's huge upside there. But, man, that's just whatever.
Where do you think – I mean, based on the possibility of starts, where do you place him among starters?
Luke Weaver?
Yeah.
For the rest of the year?
Knowing where he's at right now and the lack of promise of starts, where do you put him?
Can't put him in the top 60 because you're right. I mean, they could do the dumb thing and put Weaver in middle relief and pitch him once a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which makes no sense, but
I think there's probably three more starts at minimum from him.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, Chacin was awful, and nobody should ever use him in a road game. But I assume he's got at least three home games left this season.
Probably.
You have one roster spot, Luke Weaver or Yolis Chacin, and he's been fantastic at Petco Park.
Weaver, because I don't like to invest in strictly home road splits. I can't explain them. The first thing that comes to mind is it's got to be a mental thing. I mean, Irvin Santana had a situation like this way back early in his career where he was dominant at home and terrible on the road. If you think that you can capitalize on that, that's great. But what if they're playing a loaded offense in Petco? I've seen a couple of games where he's disappointed there. I want Weaver.
Okay, fair enough. Let's get to Rich Hill. That was a pretty amazing performance last night in Pittsburgh, but they didn't score any runs for him. So he gets through nine. Well, he gets into the ninth inning on a perfect game. Then comes the error by Forsyth. You know, that happens. He's left in for the 10th, which I thought was really interesting because he couldn't complete the no-hitter anyway unless he made it through the 11th, assuming the Dodgers would have scored him a run. But it was not a high pitch count. So really, to me, this is not a big deal. Overall for fantasy, Rich Hill. It's still not like every outing is a good one. In fact, I think only one of his past four outings were a quality start. So is this aberrant, or is this a guy now that you got to use at all times?
I think you got to use him at all times because he's healthy, and for the most part, despite the quality start point, he's still been pitching very well for a good month and a half. 2.25 ERA, 0.88 WHIP, 33% strikeout rate in his nine starts since the beginning of July, ranking among the top 10 in all three categories. And what right do we really have to assume he's going to miss a chunk of time here? I mean, we've criticized a portion of Chassin, we've criticized a portion of Weaver's remaining schedule. The same thing applies to an awful lot of pitchers. I think Rich Hill, we can make the case he's a top 10 starter the rest of the year. I really do think that.
Whoa, buddy. Top 10 starter?
Top 10 starter.
Top 10 starter.
Put aside the injury risk, isn't he a top 10 starter?
Well, I mean, as I said earlier, and maybe you just glossed over it, but like he hadn't been pitching even all that well. I mean, that's an amazing outing, okay? Give him full credit. It's in a pitcher's park. It's a team that doesn't hit, but it's an amazing outing. His previous outing, he went five innings against Detroit, allowed three runs, then a quality start against the Padres, five innings, three runs against the Mets. He wasn't pitching all that well. So a top 10, that's a real big leap to me. Wow.
Okay. Sixth, fourth, and fourth in the past month and a half doesn't grab your eye in those three categories?
Grabs my eye, but man.
I get what you're saying, but the Detroit game was very disappointing. But let's not forget the fact that the Tigers crush left-handed pitchers and they stink against righties. They've all got right. One of the widest platoon splits in that direction.
I assume he's owned in...
Oh, yeah, he's got to be.
Every league at this point. Anyway.
And, I mean, look, he might get hurt and give you two more starts. But my take is, with this portion of season remaining, why not take some shots on upside plays like
he's owned in 90% of ESPN leagues. But it's the Dodgers. Like, don't they just sit everybody at some point in September with this huge lead? I don't know. We're wasting time because he's owned in all leagues, and you're going to use him anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, whoa. I mean, I was thinking, is he in my top 20? And you've got him in the top 10.
He's in my top 20. I believe he was in the last
obviously,
set.
10 is in the 20. Okay, other stuff that happened. So the Red Sox traded for Rajai Davis, which, you know, shouldn't be that big of a deal. Jackie Bradley's out probably a month. This is a finger injury, or a thumb injury that he hurt on a slide at home plate. I assume what happens here is that Davis or Benintendi play the outfield or center field, and when Pedroia comes off the DL, the, for some reason, hot Eduardo Nunez moves to left field. So if you're thinking about picking up Rajai Davis today, I don't think you should.
And I'd agree. I think they're going to use him very much the way the A's did. And the major difference is if he doesn't get leadoff or number two in the lineup spots against left-handed pitchers, what's the point?
All right. Yeah, I mean, I just don't see – this is a clear fourth outfielder, and I'm not even sure he's used over Chris Young, who is already their fourth outfielder. So, yeah, good to have depth and a pinch runner at times. Not really a good center fielder either. I mean, good for them.
He could be. You know what? He could give them what Jared Dyson did for the Royals the past couple of years.
I guess.
Not great for fantasy, but you know.
Over under on stolen bases for Rajai the final 5 weeks. I'll say like 8.5.
Yeah, I like that number. The first thing that came to mind was 8. I'd probably take the under, and it's exactly 8. But
I'm
like
taking
your pick.
The under on it. We have combo meals.
Hey, it's a combo meal.
Best I can tell, we have four of them over the last 3 days of games since our last show. Monday was Brian Dozier and Nicky Delmonico, who's just awesome. Yep. He's almost as awesome as Rhys Hoskins, who I think would be a first-round pick if we held drafts for next year right now. Delmonico probably would go in round two. And then last night, Jake Marisnik and Kevin Kiermaier of Tampa Bay. Kiermaier's the one who interests me. He's a guy who I didn't think would be stealing bases because he fractured his hip and missed the last 2 months, but there he is stealing bases. What is he? He's back at the top of the Tampa Bay lineup, a lineup which hasn't hit most of the month, but over the last couple of days seems a little bit rejuvenated here. Your thoughts on Kiermaier and Tampa Bay?
An underrated offensive player. We know he's a great defender, but this is the kind of guy that I thought was a pretty solid lock for 10 to 15 home runs and 25-ish steals had he played the entire year. I don't see there's any reason to shy from those projections based on what's left. So it's a little under a quarter of a season. I like Kiermaier a lot. I think he is relevant in all leagues.
Nicky Delmonico and Rhys Hoskins. We need to deal with this. I mean, I know we deal with Hoskins on every show now, so we kind of need a sounder and an update on that. But 7 home runs in 14 games, and this isn't just Phillies talk. He looks really good. Now, I threw out the Goldschmidt comp on Monday, and it's obviously silly.
Why is it silly?
Don't you? Well, you said it was silly. That's why.
Okay, all right.
But, I mean, it's a little too early. I mean, we've seen other guys. Trevor Story did this in his first 2 weeks.
You talked me a little
Shane
bit into
Spencer
it.
Did it. Well, look, it's great plate discipline, and it's obvious power, but pitchers are going to stop throwing him stuff where he likes it at some point soon. So is this a guy you need to own in all leagues, though? I mean, Rhys Hoskins, the way what he's doing?
Yeah, I think he is, but there's no way he's keeping up this kind of pace.
No, nobody's saying that.
Yeah.
But at what point are we going to, like, Goldschmidt's crazy, but at what point are we going to start to say, could this be a top 10 first baseman in next year's drafts? Like, what does he have to do these finals? If he does this, obviously, the next 6 weeks he'll be there. But, I mean, this guy looks really legit.
I think if he keeps the K rate where it is, which is the thing that you swung my opinion on Monday – if he keeps the K rate where it is, he contributes not a devastating batting average, so something like 250 plus at this point. And if he nearly or actually doubles the homer total, I think we need to have that conversation next year. They've got to play him every day.
Well, they are going to play him every day. That's crazy talk that they won't. But last 4 games, 4 home runs, 1 in each game, and 11 runs batted in, and he's not going to hurt the batting average because he's got more walks than strikeouts. So, I mean, we can keep coming with superlatives here. It's only 2 weeks. But when it becomes 4 weeks and 6 weeks, I mean, are we really going to rank him where we do Jose Abreu next year? I just can't see that right now, but that's what we're getting toward, right?
We're waffling on the right day for it, you know?
Well, why is today National Waffle
National
Day?
National Waffle Day.
Are you kidding me?
No.
There's a day for that.
Yeah, there's a day. I tried to get a waffle this morning. I couldn't do it. Getting back to the Oscar's point, though, I mean, I the first thing I think of is this feels like Chris Davis, the Orioles version. You know, I mean, the way we treated him over the past half decade, except there's a major difference. The guy makes contact. It's an awkward comp, but I mean, value-wise, doesn't he?
That comp is ridiculous.
Is it ridiculous? Chris Davis.
Come on, Chris Davis struck out 200 times in a season.
Chris Davis was considered one of our 30 best players 2 seasons ago. 30 best picks.
I think we're getting towards Jose Abreu, that right-handed hitter who doesn't strike out a ton, and we expect to have 30 home runs and 100 RBI. That's what he's looking like to me.
I'd lower the average and raise the homers.
Okay, but Chris Davis of the Orioles. I mean, that's Joey Gallo. That's a 210 batting average.
I'll be real clear on this. There are a lot of big lovers of Chris Davis out there who had him up there in the top. I remember seeing him in the
top
25
overall. I'll give you that the rankings
overall
might be similar, but not for the same reasons. When we do comps here, we don't do it for rankings purposes.
Right.
We do it for, you know, same size hitter. The numbers are going to look the same. Rhys Hoskins next year, now we're looking at 30, 100, and 270. That's Jose Abreu. That's all I'm saying.
You know what? Just put the two of them in a blender, and that's what we. Hoskins will be what you get. Better content.
More sound. How about a closer carousel?
The closer carousel.
All right, you're in Missouri right now. I wrote my blog entry about the Missouri bullpens, so let's start. The news came on Wednesday about both situations. Kelvin Herrera left his outing on Tuesday prematurely with forearm tightness. Really, Salvador Perez forced him out. It was kind of a weird situation there. But then on Wednesday, we hear that Herrera is fine. He even could have pitched that day. He didn't have to. Cardinals, it's much worse news. Trevor Rosenthal, who really had a nice season. I got some saves out of him in NL labor, which I'm now going to lose. He has a torn ulnar collateral ligament. We're not going to see him, maybe not even next season. So you saw Hwang San Oh come in the eighth inning.
It was the eighth.
He started the eighth inning. So he's clearly not the closer. Who is their closer? Is it the lefty Tyler Lyons? Is that a really good month? Is it Brebbia?
Well, I disagree that was – I don't think that there was any read on the specific save situation because it wasn't a save situation. But the fact that he was warming up that soon in the game, which was at the beginning of the seventh, is – troubling. It suggests that there was a committee approach in the first place. Oh, looked bad yesterday. Tyler Lyons came in and he put forth a tremendous effort. And it seems to me there's no talk that Lyons is going to be the closer. For me, talent-wise, that's who I want. I'm afraid it's going to be John Brebbia.
Well, don't be afraid. I mean, that might be good, too. Why would you be afraid?
He gives him 4 fly balls in the outing, and one goes, like, 420 feet.
Well, Corey Spangenberg, I mean, you can't control him. He's awesome.
Well, yeah.
He's no
you know, Reese Hoskins, but he's pretty
no containing
pretty close.
Spangenberg.
All right, so Cardinals, I guess if you have to own one guy, it's O, but I think Lions is the guy.
With you. I think it's Lions, too.
And then Herrera, I'm just saying this, if you're in a really deep league, don't dump their setup guy yet.
Well, who is their setup guy?
It's Maurer. It's got to be Brandon Maurer.
He's been awful.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. Manager might not even notice.
Yeah.
Just saying. I suppose. Performance doesn't always dictate who's next in line. Other situations, Greg Holland, man, this ain't going well. I got to think that the next save he doesn't get? I mean, 2 weeks ago his ERA was 156. Now it's 377. 12 earned runs over 5 innings with 3 home runs, 6 walks, and only 4 strikeouts. Got to be hurt. I mean, is this Steven Matz of the West? Something's wrong with him, right? He's got to be hurt.
No doubt. And not only that, he got the dreaded vote of confidence.
Which means the next save goes to Jake McGee, probably.
That's another case where I think Neshek's pitched well enough to deserve a look.
I think the fact that he gets used in the seventh inning and McGee and Ottavino go in the eighth tells us the hierarchy. That's the only reason why I just don't think Neshek's the guy. But if you own Greg Holland, worry.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, I do have a share of him, and I am worried.
Like, who gets more saves the rest of the year, Greg Holland or Aroldis?
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
Do either of them get 5 saves the rest of the season? That's probably a little bit, you know, hasty in my remarks.
Yeah, it's probably, you know what, Chapman probably will get there because 2 weeks could, you know, he could put forth 2 weeks of tremendous numbers and get to 5. I'd probably take Chapman.
What else? So Zach Britton blew a save on Wednesday, and of course, if he's going to blow a save, that means he must be hurt. Orioles have an MRI on tap for today for his knee issue. Keep Brad Brock owned. Brad Brock, Brandon Maurer, or Tyler Lyons? Pick one.
Brock.
So you assume Britton's going on the DL.
Skill. No, it's skill more than it. I want to tell you it's Lyons. I'm with you on that. It's just Brock can contribute even when he's not closing games.
Hasn't been all that great the past couple weeks.
Yeah, true. Skills-wise.
Closing. And Andrew Miller's on the disabled list with knee problems. He can't return until September. I'm going to say he gets fewer than 3 saves the rest
with
of
you.
The season.
Yep,
he's
sign me up.
He's not going to be their closer there. Okay. Oh, we had weekend preview day, so let's take a look at the schedule here and see who's playing whom and why and all that fun stuff. And according to the show note, which gets sent really early morning, and why is that, Kyle? Like, why are you up at 5 a.m., like, doing, you know, setting your DFS lineup?
We've got some baseball things to do before I got to be here at 6:45 for the football podcast.
You got to be there at 6:45?
Yeah.
I hope you had your waffle first.
Yeah, no, I'm a cereal guy, but I'm pro breakfast in every sense of the word. So if you want to go breakfast 3 times today, I'm cool with that.
You're like a cereal AM emailer.
You could say that, Eric. I like that.
Not that there's anything. There's worse cereal things to be. Biggest series of the weekend, I guess. Brewers Dodgers. That's a pretty big one. So Chase Anderson, Kenta Maeda is the Friday matchup. Going with Chase Anderson here. He pitched the Coors on Sunday and pitched great.
Yeah, he did. My instinct tells me I just don't trust the guy. But
always follow your instincts, Tristan.
Then I'm not
using
him.
To this place.
Then I'm not using him.
And remember that the night is dark and full of terrors, and you have no idea what that means. I refuse to watch the show.
you know how much work I've had to do to avoid spoilers? Not that it matters. What are they in season 14?
You're never going
to
watch it. No,
I'll watch it someday.
It's like 5, 6, 7. I don't know. What year is it for the Game of Thrones?
I heard that guy is actually the other guy, and he's going to do the thing with the other guy, and then it's all going to go haywire.
Let's talk about the thing. So Zach Davies is pitching on Saturday. You going with him? So basically the Dodgers are really, really good, except they didn't score last night. So their pitchers this weekend, I think, warrant attention. Anderson, Davies, and Jimmy Nelson, all pretty ordinary right-handers with different successes. You know, like Anderson, great this year, never before that. Same with Jimmy Nelson. Zach Davies overachieved last year. Now he's been okay in the last month. Rank these Brewers pitchers for me this weekend, please.
So I'm going to go in inverse order. I'm going to go up the chain from Anderson to Davies to Nelson.
So Nelson's your top guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd have him as the last guy.
Nelson is your last guy,
I'd go Anderson first, Davies second, Nelson I'm worried about. And he's pitching against Darvish. In theory, as of today, unless you know something I don't,
nope.
I mean, Max Scherzer has already been scratched from his Friday outing. Darvish comes off the DL. I don't think he was all that hurt. Like, if this DL was a 15-day DL and not a 10, I bet Darvish doesn't even go in the DL.
Yeah, it's very likely he's coming back for that game. There will not be a Clayton Kershaw appearance on Saturday. That's probably happening on September 1st. I don't know who they're going to pitch on. So in terms of the matchup head-to-head for the starting pitchers, the advantage goes to Zach Davies here because he'll likely face Ross Stripling or another minor leaguer.
Any hitters you're watching in that Milwaukee Dodgers series? Dodgers have so much depth there, and they're not facing a lefty, so that rules out a couple guys right away, like Enrique Hernandez. Bellinger's on the disabled list, so Adrian Gonzalez will play every day. I still have no interest in a 10-team fantasy league in Adrian Gonzalez. I pretty much assume that you'd say the same thing.
Yep. Granderson.
Granderson might lead off. I mean, it looks like he's their leadoff guy against righties and not Utley, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a good opportunity for him against the three righties.
Although, didn't he clean up the other day against the righty? So I don't know what he's doing.
Well, either way, he's going to get a premium lineup spot, so it's going to help you one way or the other.
They might be using him in the Bellinger cleanup spot instead of the leadoff spot. The Brewers, Eric Thames leads off, and this is against three right-handers there as well, so that's kind of interesting. Any other Brewers hitters you're watching for here?
No, I'm that Saturday game tempts me, but otherwise Maeda and Darvish scares me away from the Brewers. I mean, they're pretty K prone.
You know who else is K prone? How about those Mets? Meet the Mets on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every once in a while, it's like the blind acorn or in the tree or whatever that line.
Blind acorn.
I guess acorns. Well, acorns probably are blind, right? The blind squirrel finds the
potatoes
acorn.
Aren't.
Potatoes in a dynasty league.
Are Potatoes pitching for the Mets on Sunday?
I was hoping to get to see Tyler Pill, and now I will get my chance, at least for an hour, until Game of Thrones starts. Tyler Pill and Tanner Roark are the pitchers on Sunday Night Baseball. Tyler Pill?
They really have no one else, because that was going to be the Matt Harvey day, and now Matt Harvey's going to make another minor league rehab start.
They were going to throw Steven Matz out there until the arm literally fell off, I believe. And I think it was starting to, and they thought, all right, we'll let him have the surgery now. We need you for five more weeks, Matz, but, I mean, if you're going to be like that, okay, fine. We'll put you on the DL. You can have the surgery now. Give me a break. That's how the Mets were acting in this situation. Mm-hmm. Really strange. Saturday's matchup, Gio Gonzalez, who in a normal season might be like a legit Cy Young contender. That's an amazing year he's having against Robert Gesellman, who I was going to drop off of one of your teams. I know that sounds strange, but nobody understands that except you and me. Can I drop Gesellman for you? Because, like, you need other stuff in that league.
We can discuss that. I think he's disappointed.
Not had a very good year, that Robert G. I'm interested in Astros Angels. I think you might be as well. Brad Peacock on Saturday against Tyler Skaggs.
Yep.
Because these are, one team going to the playoffs, and the Angels might make it there. The Sunday matchup, Charlie Morton and Ricky Nolasco. You can't really have an interest in Ricky Nolasco, I assume. But anything you're watching here, hitters or pitchers for the Astros and the Angels? I guess Cameron Maven's kind of interesting, right?
He is. I'm not looking at the stolen base grades there. So I kind of like the three righty pitchers going up against the Angels. I think there's a bit of an advantage there. So this kind of tilts everything into their favor. Where the heck are my hitting ratings?
Well,
my hitting ratings
find
have disappeared.
Them, we only have so much time on this show.
Here we go. All here right. we go. They're middling stolen base grades for Maben. I can get on board with that.
Your Mariners and the Yankees are playing at the stadium this weekend. Sabathia, Gray, and Tanaka. And we must point out that Tanaka is 0-6 in day games this season with an 11.81 ERA. Is that a thing, or do you think it's just, not a thing?
I don't know what.
Do you use him? Pitch better of late.
I'm going to say no. A home game, there's some lefty bats with power in that Mariners lineup. I'm close with it, but no. I hate to trust day-night stats, but, I mean, I've watched his day games. He looks definitively different.
He does.
What would you do?
I think it depends on the situation. Like, if I'm, going into that day in a head-to-head daily, and, I'm, close in ERA and whip, I sit him.
Yeah.
If I need a win, I use him. It kind of depends on the situation.
Yep.
It's kind of weird. What about Sabathia against Seattle? I mean, lefties don't hit him very well. They've got lefties, Cano, Seager, Yonder, Alonso. So are you using Sabathia on Friday?
I'd probably rank him three out of the three Yankee starters in that series, but that would be high enough that I would consider starting him.
Luis Castillo pitches Saturday against Pittsburgh. 18 hits allowed in his last 30 and a third innings. Wow. I mean, he's walking people to make up for it, but still, he's legit, and Pittsburgh doesn't hit all that much, so.
And who are they throwing in that game there? Let's see. Oh, Gerrit Cole. Struggling lately.
Yeah, he kind of is.
I kind of like Josh Bell in this series, by the way.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Stevenson and Bailey, with those two starts, those are great hitting opportunities for Josh Bell. Since the game.
Do you like Josh Bell more than Miguel Cabrera?
For this weekend, I do.
What about Rhys Hoskins?
Hey, I think we both waffled a bit on Rhys Hoskins in the past week.
I don't think I've waffled.
Yes, we have. We were both taking Logan Morrison first. Let's not hide that.
I said Goldschmidt on Monday. What more do you want?
We both initially picked Logan Morrison over Rhys Hoskins. Let's not hide that.
Did I really take
Rhys? Yes, we did.
I did.
Oh, yes, we did. Let's roll back the tape.
I don't think anybody's keeping the tape. I'm not quite certain nobody is.
Miguel Cabrera in Chicago this weekend. That would be a nice bet. Bell or Cabrera?
I don't even check to see if these shows go live. Like Mike, these shows actually do get put out there, right? People listen to them, right?
A lot of people listen to them.
You have a lot to do with that, right?
Yes.
Like you're pushing all the right buttons, literally and figuratively, right?
All the right buttons. It gets out there to the mainstream, and people listen to it.
Thursday night baseball. Let's see. We have Strasburg and Keuchel. That's a pretty interesting matchup tonight. Mm-hmm. We're back in on Keuchel here. Do we trust him again?
Not all in, but there's another home road guy in a home game. I don't like the head-to-head against Strasburg. I don't like going up against Washington. Without Harper, it is a bit advantageous, but I feel I'm on the fence with him like I am Tanaka. I'll probably end up using him.
You're not literally on a fence right now because that would be painful.
But there's a really high chair here.
Tough to do
cool.
A show that way. Kyle, let's bring you in here. Name some hitters and pitchers that you might be looking at this weekend and not guys like Strasburg, guys who are available in some leagues. You're thinking of picking them up. You're thinking of avoiding them. Just talk.
Rick Porcello
does not make that list. I want to see if Byron Buxton's kind of the real deal. He's been hot lately. I want to see... I want to see how he's doing, if this is real. I haven't seen a lot of him over the last couple weeks, but numbers bear it out. So I want to see if he is kind of what we thought he was, just, you know.
If you're going to name a Twins hitter, it doesn't have to be Jorge Polanco right now. He's homered in four consecutive games, because there was a doubleheader, and he's batted third the last two. He's like, really, it's anything goes with that Twins lineup. Buxton, Rosario, Mauer, Polanco, anybody can bat third.
Three of them are in the top 10 on the last seven player rater.
They should be. They're all hitting right
now. Dozier, Buxton, and Polanco going up from 10 to 8 to 1.
Yeah, I think they're all worth watching this weekend, of course, right? I want to see what Chad Bettis does in Atlanta this weekend, too.
Yes. That's rooting for the guy.
Good time to use him. Of course, we're rooting for him, unless you're not, and you shouldn't. You should definitely be rooting for him. White Sox pitchers, got to keep looking at those guys. Texas lineup without Gallo. Where's Texas this weekend?
Rodon, let's throw Rodon against Detroit here.
Well, I think they're going to. You mean you're going to? Or
I'm tossing him out as you're confident in him now.
Blake Snell at St. Louis. Now, Mike Leake has sprung a leak in the past month, but Blake Snell has looked a lot better. This seems like an opportunity. I don't know, maybe you're staying in St. Louis for the rest of the week. Would you use Blake Snell?
You're telling me I should stay here and scout Blake Snell?
I think you should. For the good of the show, Tristan. I mean, aren't you all about? Aren't you a team player?
I'll take Rodon over Snell.
Because Snell's pitched well of late.
Rodon against Detroit. I said they crush lefties. That's the problem with that matchup. Snell's got the better matchup on paper. It's in St. Louis. No DH. Got the pitcher in the lineup. Yeah, you can.
Snell has pitched well. All right.
I see what you did there.
Definitely time for halftime. So let's just get to this. Fantasy football season is here, folks. On behalf of ESPN, I think I can do that at this point. We're here to make sure you know the difference between bad fantasy and good fantasy. Bad fantasy is drafting a kicker or a defense too soon, even though I just did that in one of my leagues right before the show and I told Kyle, but I made sense of it. Good fantasy is going into the season with the best tools and analysis you need to draft the best team. Bad fantasy is leaving your best player in the starting lineup when he has a bye week. Who does that? Good fantasy is having alerts from the fantasy app and the awesome Matthew Berry as your personal consultant.
Dude?
And he's not there right now because he's probably filming his show for today.
Are you sure?
You should be watching that show. Kyle, tell us what the show is called.
The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry. We didn't spend a whole lot of the budget on show name, but it's a good show.
Any consideration for just show?
Show was voted down. It was the Fantasy Show or the Fantasy with Matthew Berry, but you know that could be taken a few ways. So we kept it simple.
I need to finish this, people. Play the number one fantasy football game on the number one fantasy app because good fantasy is better than bad fantasy. ESPN Fantasy Football. Sign up now at ESPN.com/good fantasy.
Great show so far, guys.
I think you're just saying that to every show you produce,
right? The best!
No, I am producing a lot right now, but this is...
You're busy, huh?
I am busy, but this is one of my
favorites.
August
is the busiest month, I think, on the fantasy schedule, right? Because football, you're getting ready for the season. And baseball, it's not September yet, so a lot more people are still engaged. They're still in their races. They're still paying attention. And I don't know if you know this, but it's getting towards fantasy hockey and fantasy basketball season.
Yes, sir.
And you can play those sports, Mr. Lipscomb, right, on ESPN Fantasy. And those games are in the app, too, right?
That is correct. And this season, the NBA season starts a couple weeks earlier. So if you're so inclined, get going on it.
Get going on it. I'm going to be writing a fantasy basketball column, I'm happy to say.
Excellent.
All right.
But you can't do the voices in those in text. But we get them here.
Voices?
Yeah.
If you want to play good fantasy, ESPN Fantasy Basketball.
You bring the full array of voices here.
Every time that promo comes out, it's like I'm in puberty.
Good fantasy.
Bad fantasy.
Good fantasy.
We're nuts, and we don't mind admitting that. So,
let's
Kyle,
get some good
give us some
questions.
Nope.
No bad questions.
No bad questions.
Only good questions. You sounded like Oscar the Grouch there.
And cookies.
Ah, I like cookies. Bring me a cookie back, will you?
And a banana split.
Banana split day's coming up, too. Alex is wondering if you can consider Luke Weaver a top 50 pitcher the rest of this season and or next season.
This is all you, Tristan. You saw him last night, shook his hand, got a signed baseball, dined with him after the game. So please tell us.
It's not appropriate to get a signed baseball. Come on.
You have signed baseballs in your basement.
Yeah, I do.
I've seen them.
So do you. Don't you?
But no, I've never actually asked anybody for a signed baseball. Like, they were gifts. Not gifts. Gifts.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of... Yeah, gifts.
Every Lipscomb show, man. It's like Heckle and Jide. Wait.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
I can't believe
that's a show, Kyle. Seen.
I just said that, and I didn't mean to.
Oh, man.
That's going to be a drop.
Yes, it is. Oh, goodness.
Right after the hash
Luke
browns.
Weaver. All right. So, I want to believe. I'm more in for next year. They've got to find a place for him, and I think he's got top 50 potential.
So does Kyle.
Of course he does.
This is true. I have top 50 potential, but I don't like my chances. Does Luke Weaver fulfill that potential in the near future?
Yes, next year he does, not this year.
Love it.
All right, fair enough. Jared has a catcher question, just because catchers are a problem these days. He wants to know if he goes with Ramos or Realmuto the rest of the way. Ramos hitting 340, the latter hitting 197 in August.
Ramos has hit well. He had a streak recently. I think he might still have it. Four or five consecutive multiple hit games.
Five
got
in
some
a row.
Pop. Got more pop than Realmuto. JT does. Is Realmuto in that top five where you just play him every day and don't worry about it, or is he in the streamer class?
I think he's in the top five because he's one of the few who, in addition to the low batting average risk, plays regularly. And aren't we crediting Wilson Ramos for what's effectively a 10-day hot streak?
Yeah, but that's all that matters now at this point for the catchers, right? I mean, you've got your five you have to own. But then after that, you might as well take chances.
The problem with Ramos is that he's had a couple of spells this year, and remember, he's working himself back to 100%, where he was just brutal.
Okay.
I feel like it's Realmuto.
I feel like we just don't want to answer that question.
Well, it's a catcher question. Who wants to answer a catcher
Tell me what's
question?
Happened here. All right, what else?
Realmuto for me.
Alrighty then. Frankie plays in a points league, and I know you guys aren't technically points experts, but we're going to take our chances
here.
Hey! Well,
we love points leagues!
You're just not technically the points guy on ESPN.com. That's what I'm told.
Let's call him up.
All right. We've got, he wants to know if you prefer, it's a roster construction kind of question. In the RP slot, do you want a pitcher, like a starting pitcher like Lamet, that's eligible there? Or you're going to go with an upside arm like Tyler Lyons?
Depends. I've done this obviously in a points league, you don't care about the saves. You just care about the overall numbers, and they all go into one number. I don't know how I could ever rely on a Padre pitcher. I mean, I guess in a home game I would, but Tyler Lyons has been pretty good this month. A lot of strikeouts, good whip, chance for saves. I mean, if saves, you know, saves should matter in a points league. I'm most times I'm going to stick with a reliever there. In fact, what I'm looking for half the time at this point of the season is not starting pitchers who I can use in an RP role, but relief pitchers that I can use in an SP role. Not the SPs, the Peyton Manning SPs. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I want to use a guy who has, like, Norris or Iglesias still have starting pitcher eligibility. Like, at this point, I want to protect ERA, which you don't want to do with Bud Norris, of course. But you know the example I'm trying to give.
The points leagues, and I mean, especially if it's weekly, which I have to assume from this question, you want to maximize your matchups. You almost always want the two-start pitchers. You can be more forgiving of matchups if they have two. You want to go with only the premium matchups for one-star pitchers. And then I'm with you, Eric. I'm taking the Iglesias all day over the middling options from the one-star pool.
All right.
Seem to have agreement there. Fly the W, always a fan of the show. He needs to keep two in a deeper keeper style league here. He's got Johnny Cueto, Paxton, who seems obvious, and Mike Moustakas. Which two are you keeping?
Yeah, I mean, in a shallow keeper, none are great keepers, really. I mean, Paxton's still... I mean, are we going to project 30 starts next year for James Paxton? No way. 25, right?
Yeah, I wish
What's the most we can project for Paxton? 25 starts next year?
The injury rep is completely legitimate there. Yeah, 25 is potentially aggressive for a projection.
I mean, generally, I'm going to keep any bat over a non-top 20 starting pitcher.
Where does Moose play next year?
Third base, I assume.
Yes.
You have to be more deliberate in your questions, or else I'm just going to go the other way.
He would happen to be a free agent who could end up in a much better park for power than Kansas City.
Almost any park is a much better park for power,
exactly.
And he's already hitting 35 homers. So
yeah, but that's...
Moustakas has to be first here.
Yeah.
And I think at this point I'm ready to go Paxton second and Cueto third, but I guarantee you the Giants next year don't have a season like this. Like, I bet that's a 90-win team next year.
So I can see it.
I'm saying right now that's a wild card team, but...
Paxton's ceiling is higher in the games he gives you, though, no?
I don't think we can assume Cueto will be hurt next year. He might not even be hurt now. The fact is, like, there's no need for the Giants to play anybody who's got a sniffle.
If you're picking one game fantasy-wise, which one are you taking of these two for next year?
Paxton Lynch. I mean, James Paxton. We do cover football, too, by the way.
So I hear.
We're not the big guys, and we're never going to appear on the podcast that
I'm
apparently
a big guy.
Starts
Look
at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, but you're on the TV show, Eric. You're a superstar.
Not on the TV show.
You're not going to appear on the TV show?
I am not.
I'm pretty sure you filmed something for that while you were here.
I did. It ran one day this week.
Right, so you're a superstar.
We had some fun.
Yeah.
No, not happening. I mean, you know, if they ask. But why are we talking about this? Paxton
Lynch. You said Paxton Lynch. You just said it again, too, before I cut you off, though.
All right, started it.
Move to the next question.
I didn't start.
Mom!
Can't
stop. He's poking me.
Tommy wants to know what tier you can put Devers in the rest of this year and next year. Been very impressive thus far.
He's awesome, Sauce. Rafael Devers, next year. Top 10 third baseman, Tristan. I mean, we can't do a name game because we're listening to other music right now.
Can we?
No, we can't. We absolutely can't.
That's how you play the name game.
I can stop the elevator music and play the name game music if that's what the people want.
Man.
Well, what do the people want?
The people like name games.
They're fun. Let's
Keith
do it.
Keith knows. He's been checking.
Let's do a name game. You guys ready?
No.
Well, then you'll never be ready. Are we about to play a Nintendo game?
What is that?
What is this?
I don't think that's name game stuff.
It's not. It says live name game.
Not on this show.
And it's a live name game, so we're doing it.
All right. I mean, that's not what the people wanted. They like when we embarrass ourselves and say stupid things.
That was a live beat, though.
Wow.
I mean,
I was dancing.
I was getting it down.
Name game.
That's what you need to do over the beat.
The name game.
That should be the name game from now on. That was outstanding.
Man. That was good.
Goodness.
Rafael Devers versus Adrian Beltre, the old and the young.
2018, right? Devers.
I think it's Devers.
It's Devers.
Wow, so that's a statement in itself. Adrian Beltre's pretty good.
He is.
I know you
good.
Hate old people, but like he's having another good year. He's batting .311 with power, and he missed some games earlier this year, a lot of games. We can't assume that happens again next year, but
I have almost always loved him.
That's a pretty big leap.
I've almost always loved Adrian Beltre. I've forgiven him for the fact that 1 year I didn't like him. He had that huge Dodger year. But it's just the age thing has to come into play here. They are both excellent players. And I'm a huge Devers fan. Have been since he was in the very low minors.
So if Beltre next year, you're going to think these numbers are ridiculous, but goes 25 homers, 90 ribs, and bats 290. You think Devers is beating that?
I think he could.
Oh, well, the name game's
over. I think Devers could hit 30
like
homers.
You just ruined the name game by like saying on my first shot. I mean, all right.
No, but I mean, like the other thing is these guys might be 8-9 or 9-10.
Devers versus Kyle Seager.
Mmm.
That you like.
I think it's probably Seager.
You think?
What about you? Where are you putting these three?
I can't put Devers up with Seager yet, or Rendon yet.
I can't put him with Rendon.
Moustakas?
Can't put him there yet.
All right, so we found your line.
Isn't it your line, too?
Sano?
I can't put him with Sano yet.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if
How
he's going
to Bregman? Alex Bregman.
He'll have shortstop L.
Right, and that's interesting. Does that make you put Bregman ahead of him?
I really like Bregman a lot. I liked him a lot last year. Yeah. Yes, Bregman will be ahead of Devers. But I don't know if that might not make Devers a top 10 third baseman, which seems weird, too. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. I want to put him there. But, I mean, let's name them. Arenado, Rendon, Chris Bryant, of course, Machado, of course, although he will not be shortstop eligible next year.
Nope.
Longoria, I think I'd go Devers over Longoria at this point. Right?
That's also close. I think that Devers, Longoria, and Beltre probably end up in the same tier.
Seager, Donaldson.
Donaldson, yep.
So, yeah, he might end up in the top 10.
Moustakas, we said. Yeah. Justin Turner probably deserves at least a mention.
Turner should be ahead of Devers. Mm-hmm. So should Sano.
But he's
right
after that.
Gallo
has how many games there?
Jake Lamb, I guess, is in this discussion now, right?
Jake Lamb definitely belongs in this discussion, yeah.
He's the number 10 third baseman on the player rater behind, well, Freddie Freeman won't have it next year. He didn't play 20. Chris Bryant, Moustakas, Rendon. Okay.
How many does Gallo have?
And then what about Jose Ramirez?
Gallo has 63. Gallo would be there.
You can't put Gallo over Devers.
Devers' game is more complete of the two, but Gallo's very likely to hit more homers than him. I think I'd take Devers.
I'm not going to be drafting guys like Gallo next year. I'm just telling you right now. I have a league where I'm dead last in batting average, and it's because I have too many guys like Gallo and Schwarber. I just won't do it. I won't do it again.
Freeman's four away.
He's not going to get any more.
Yeah, I agree.
He's done. Are we done? Any more questions?
We've always got questions. Yeah. It's whatever you want. I got one more for you. It's more of a strategic question. You guys up for a little strategy?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, from September 7th to the 24th, the Rockies play 14 road games and 3 home games. How are you treating that for those in playoffs during that stretch? They're 28th in WOBA on the road, and they're a top 10 ERA pitching staff on the road.
Well, I mean, there's certain Rockies that you can't do anything about. Like Arenado and Blackman, you play no matter what. But they're probably the only two, right? Are there any other hitters that you have to play? Like if they have a full week and you're in a weekly league, you don't have to play Mark Reynolds. You don't have to use LeMahieu or Parra. So those are the only two you got to use. I think it's more interesting with the pitchers. I mean, first of all, their closer is becoming unusable. Like what Rockies pitchers, like John Gray? The numbers on the road aren't even that great. Chatwood?
Yeah, there you go. That's the answer we were trying to get. The question's
he's not
over
even
now.
In the rotation.
It doesn't matter. They're going to reinstate him for a couple 2 week run here.
They probably will. They're doing they're like the light Dodgers. They have lesser names, but they're doing the same thing the Dodgers are doing.
They're going to miss out on that wild card spot.
If they bring Chatwood back in, I'm going to be quite obnoxious over those 2 weeks.
I will poo poo this comment about the schedule and that I'll remind that 4 of those road games are in Arizona, so it's really like playing at Coors Field anyway. The biggest problem with that schedule is that week of September 18th to 24th, where they play 2 in San Fran and 4 in San Diego, so the ballpark factor is diminished. But who do they face among pitchers?
It just dawned on me there aren't that many Rockies right now that you have to use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, LeMahieu is hitting .313, but he's not doing anything else except scoring runs. No power, no speed.
You got to be using him, though.
I think if you have him, you're using him, but he's not giving you a whole lot. He's basically a two-category guy. Mark Reynolds is still hitting for power, so I think if you have him, you're still using him. But Trevor Story, no. Ian Desmond, probably not even owned in that many leagues at this point. Yeah, he's at 40%. He should be back soon. That's going to complicate things a little bit. And among their pitchers, I mean, are you really relying on Herman Marquez? mean, other than Holland, you don't have to use Marquez or Gray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Gray's last month actually is pretty good, better than I thought. John Gray.
I'm probably still using Lucroy Story and Gerard Parra.
John Snow, it's a big night on Sunday. When's Gray's next outing? Is it Sunday? Let's see here. It's Sunday. Oh, what a day for the John Snows. John Snow of the Rockies pitches at Atlanta, and then John Snow, you know, it's a big day for him. It's cold
Sunday
up there.
Sunday road game.
Or wherever they are. They ever have road games on Game of Thrones? We're done for this. Anything else you'd like to discuss? So you're in St. Louis, and then I assume you're leaving soon, and you're coming home for a big weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got to get the rest of my scouting done, talk a little fantasy.
Final weekend of
football.
August.
What is this football we're talking about?
Yeah, we have another mock draft tomorrow. Don't be late. That is all for today's show. We thank you so much for listening to our fantasy-focused baseball shows, and a lot of people on Twitter keep asking us, what's the deal for the rest of the season? To the best of my knowledge, and that's all I've got at this point, it's Monday, Thursday, and that's it. Don't ask about next year. We really don't know. But we do know that this is it, and we're now going on a three-day break or a DL stint or whatever you'd like to call it. One more thing, happy birthday to our pal Tom, the intern, who isn't the intern on this particular show, but he's a really nice guy, and he's winning our Otno League because he's just smarter than we are. He is literally a rocket scientist. Oh, and Cal Ripken turns 57 today. He's a nice guy as well. For Kyle and Mike and Lippy, Heckle and Jide, and all the wafflers out there, I am Eric. Have an awesome weekend.
Everything is awesome.
Darkness.